If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, if you'll find your place there. We're going to begin reading in verse 18 this morning. Once you find your place, go ahead and stand. Matthew chapter 8, beginning verse 18 this morning. Give you a second to get there. Matthew chapter 8. Okay. So now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We just pray now that you would guide and direct in the next few moments as we look at this passage and others as well. I pray that you would just help me to share the words that you've laid on my heart, that again, the words would be the words you'd want us to hear. Father, not only to hear, but to take and put into practice into our lives. Father, I pray now you guide and direct in the next few moments. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, Jesus, when he first met many of the people he met, his first comment was, Follow me. When he met Philip, he said to him, Follow me. When he met Peter and Andrew, he said, Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. When he met Matthew, he was a publican and he was a tax collector, he said, Follow me. To a group of people, he said, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's interesting, as you look at these several places in the Bible, you see that every one of these is the individuals, of course, Philip and Peter and Andrew and Matthew as well, those men immediately followed the Lord. But the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, in verse 21 says, After he had shared with him, he came to the Lord and asked him how he could have eternal life. He says, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. As we know the account, he didn't follow him. And he went away sorrowful because he had great treasures and he didn't want to give those up. And so this morning we're going to look at 3 points in this message, and that is discipleship is a choice, discipleship is costly, discipleship instills confidence. And the title of the message is To Be in the Same Way with Jesus. To be in the same way with Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you start coming to church, I know a lot of you don't do this, and part of this course we're taking is start bringing a paper and a pencil. It will help you. I want to encourage you to do that as students, to learn, so you can take something home with you. It's important that you do that. It helps our children understand as well that that is important, and I want to encourage you to do that as we go through the course, How to Study the Bible. That's part of the course, by the way. It teaches us those things. And they are important because you'll have something you can go home and you can learn from those things. So anyway, we see in our passage today that discipleship is a choice. You know, Jesus had just finished the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And he taught these disciples, many people were there, and he taught them a lot of new things. Things were not natural, like he taught them humility. He taught them about crying. He taught them about meekness, about thirsting after righteousness. He taught them to be merciful. He taught them to be pure in heart. He taught them about being a peacemaker. He taught them about persecution for righteousness' sake. He told them that they were the light of the world and many, many other things. And after he came down from the mountain, a great multitude had followed him. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8, if you would. Verse 1 of chapter 8. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So here we see that a lot of people were following Jesus. They had heard his teaching, and yet they continued to follow him. They wanted to hear more. And during this time, between what we read this morning and this particular thing, he healed a leper. A centurion came to him, and he said, if you just say the words, my servant will be healed. And he said, I haven't seen such a great faith in all of Israel. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, and he healed many other people during this period of time. And then he comes to his disciples in verse 18. He says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. He saw the need to go the other side. Where is he at? He's at the Sea of Galilee, and he knows that he needs to go the other side. There's a reason for that, and we're not going to look at that so much today, but there's a purpose behind that as well. Everything that Jesus does has a purpose, okay? It's not just, I got to do this or I got to, it's, this is what the Father's will is. That is the purpose. That's why he came, and that's what he did as he walked on this earth. He had a purpose. Well, as he is planning on getting on this boat, because we know, as we read already, he's going to do that. Look at verse 19. There were two disciples or two people who came to him. One of them said, in verse 19, a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So he told him, he says, wherever you lead, I'm going to follow. I'm going to be with you no matter what, and no matter what takes place, and no matter where you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What was he telling this disciple? He was telling this disciple that you're going to have to give up everything. He's saying, I don't have a bed to lay in. In fact, as you study the Bible, when Jesus began his ministry, we see that I don't think he ever went back to his home. And most times you don't hear of him sleeping in a bed anywhere. Generally, he's probably out and about in parks and different places like that in the wilderness and things. He's not really going to a dwelling. We don't see that very much in the passages as you look at this. And what Jesus was saying, I don't have a place to lay down. I don't have a place that I call home. Why is that? Because his home is in heaven. And he was telling his disciple, if you follow me, you're not going to have a place to lay your head down. In other words, you're going to have to learn to live a disciplined life that is different from the life that you're living. And so Jesus told him this. And this is the first, by the way, place where you see the Son of Man mentioned. And, of course, that speaks of Jesus' humanity. We know that he was 100% man, but he was also 100% God, was he not? Then we see the second disciple. Look at verse 21. It says, another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. So here this disciple comes, and he is, this word disciple means to be a learner or a pupil. And Jesus asked him, or had told him in verse 22, says, but Jesus said to him, follow me. And again, that word follow is where we get our title today. That word follow is a Greek word that means to be in the same way with. Follow means to be in the same way with. In other words, if we put that in the context, to be in the same way with Jesus, okay? And that's what he's saying, follow me, is to be in the same way with me. Okay, so he tells him, follow me. But see what this fellow says. He says, and let the dead bury the dead. And what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, let those dead, talking not literally there. He's saying those that are alive but are dead in Christ, in a sense, bury the dead, speaking literally of those that are dead. So he speaks figuratively. And literally, he says, let them take care of that. Let the world take care of the world's things. And so a disciple, as we told, and we see this, by definition, is to be in the same way with whatever, in this case, Jesus. It doesn't say what choice they made. It doesn't say that they didn't go and do what he asked them to do and just follow him. It doesn't say that they did follow him either. We don't know what happened to these two guys. And so we really don't know what they decided, what they chose. Why? Because discipleship is a choice. And every person has to make a choice. Everybody has to decide what they're going to do and what they're going to do with Jesus, if they're going to be in the same way with Jesus. And so what is important here for us to understand as Christians is that we have made a choice. We are disciples of Christ. So we want to be in the same way with Christ. And so we seek his face, we look to him, and we trust him to lead us and to guide us so we can be with him. You say, well, I've got the Holy Spirit living in me, and so everywhere I go, he's with me. There are places Jesus won't go that you will. There are places that Jesus won't go that you will. Do you believe that? I do. Absolutely. The Bible teaches us that he would probably not go to places that would be, in other words, if, unless he's ministering, he wouldn't go to parties and he wouldn't go to entertainment and all that. That's what he was not about, all that. What was he about? He was about telling people of the kingdom of God. That's what his life was about. So some of those things we need to think about. It's a choice. But we are disciples, and everybody gets to make that choice. Some choose to follow. Look at verse 23. It says, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Now that's interesting when I think about that. Who is this speaking of? It's probably speaking about the 12. It may have been more or less. We don't know. It doesn't say specifically. It doesn't give the names or any of that. But it says his disciples. And again, that's a general statement of those that were going to follow Jesus or be in the same way with Jesus. Jesus was going on the boat. They went on the boat, okay? And we don't know what they knew about that. We could guess that some of those people were fishermen, okay? We know that Peter and Andrew and James and John were fishermen. If they happened to be in this group, they were fishermen. But the fact is, they were disciples. You know, today, many claim to be disciples but are not willing to be disciplined. Many claim to be disciples but are not willing to give up their own priorities. And that's what this second disciple, he's not ready to give up his priorities. He had something else he wanted to do. Many claim to be disciples but only follow for a while. These particular men, or these folks who followed, they demonstrated their choice by getting into the boat. They wanted to be with Jesus. You know, as we are faced with these same choices that these folks were, maybe it's not getting in the boat, if you will, but it's learning and it's being pupils of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus spoke to some folks. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. By taking the yoke of Jesus, what we are doing is we're being in the same way with Jesus. Because, you know, the yoke is a figure that we all have something in our minds when we hear that word. But it's generally a device that would hold two animals together. And they would yoke up together and they would do the work together. They would try to get those two animals to be unified and complete the task. Well, we yoke up with Christ. He's the one who leads. We follow. Wherever he goes, we go. And that's kind of the way that these people are doing, these disciples, they're following Jesus. They followed him right into that boat. In our passage, Jesus did not tell them where he was going, as far as we know. If you look at, there's two other places mentioned in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. I've read all those and I see nowhere where it says, let's go get in the boat because I want to go to this place. In other words, when we are with Jesus, we don't necessarily know where we're going. That means it requires faith to get on the boat. These disciples had faith that day to get on that boat with Jesus without knowing where he was going. For wherever he was going, they were going to be. And that's what a disciple is someone who is learning about Jesus, and wherever Jesus wants us, that's where we're going to be. And so they got on the boat, they followed him, and did not know exactly where they were going. Now, we know where they ended up, okay? And we know the reason for that because it's given in the scriptures. They actually ended up I don't know how far it was. The Sea of Galilee is 7 miles across, 13 miles from the Jordan entering to the Jordan leaving, north and south. And they came from about midway and went down to east corner. They left from the northwest and came to the southeast. So not sure how far a distance they were going, but they went to the Gadarenes, and there was a purpose behind that, which will be another message. So here, his disciples, they demonstrated faith by getting on the boat with him, not knowing where they were going. Again, discipleship is a choice. They each had a choice. They could have said, nope, I don't want to go. I'm not sure where you're going, but you know what? I really don't want to even get on the lake today. I don't want to go where you're heading. I got something else to do. I need to go bury my dad and mom or whoever it is. Or I got to take care of some other things. I just really don't want to do this. These guys made a decision. They're going wherever he was going to go. How does that start? How do we get to that point? Well, it started all in the Garden of Eden, and it really rested at the foot of the cross, did it not? It's the fact that Adam committed that first sin. And because of Adam's sin, all of us became sinners. But God still loved us, and he still wanted to have us with him, not necessarily bring him with us. He wants us to be with him, and it's a different type of world being with him than it is down here, for sure. And so what did he do? He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And for anybody who understands that message and puts their faith and trust in Jesus, they've just made a choice. And that choice is that they are becoming a disciple of the Lord. Because you have to learn of him first before you can ever accept him as your Savior. Most people just don't say, well, who's Jesus? Oh, and you tell them who he is. And they say, well, hey, I want to just say a prayer and get saved today. Most people want to know who you're talking about, want to have some details. And today, you just about have to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden to give them some more details about who God is and all this. But the fact is, when you learn of him and you understand who he is and you put your faith and trust in him because he's the only one that can change your life and give you an opportunity to be with God, and you make that decision, you have chosen to be a disciple of Christ. This morning in this room, I would say at least 80% I have chosen to be a disciple of Christ. You say, I'm a Christian. I say, you're a disciple of Christ. You're a Christian. You're a learner of Christ. You're a pupil of Christ. You're a follower of Christ. So what do pupils do? They learn of Christ. How do they learn of Christ? They come to church, they go to Sunday school, and they read their Bibles. Those are kind of the ways we learn of Christ, right? And so those are important things that we want to do. So these people were disciples. They got on the boat. There was faith in their lives. They showed that they had faith by the choice they made. In John chapter 3:36, we all made this choice or have the opportunity to make this choice. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That is the choice to become a disciple of Christ, is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. But then discipleship is also costly. And in the sense that these men have already demonstrated, these two disciples, where the one had come to him and said, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And Jesus told him, so I don't have any place to lay down my head. There was a choice there that was costly. It's giving up what you got and giving it to the Lord. Just like the rich young ruler. What was his problem? He couldn't give up all he had. Jesus told him, says, give it away. And then what did he say? Follow me. And he couldn't do it. And I'll say that most of us would have a hard time maybe doing to the extent that he has told us to do that. I know I might. Because we hang on to everything we want and desire. So then the second guy, he had some other business to take care of. And Jesus said, forget it. Follow me. In other words, priorities. What is your priority? Is it to be about the business of the world? Or is it to be about discipling and following or being discipled by Christ? That's what he said. It's costly. These men that got on the boat, they were disciples. Now, a disciple doesn't describe how much knowledge you have. When you get saved and you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you might know a lot of things about Christ, right? You could have heard a lot of things. You could have been in church for a long time. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Was sitting under preaching for 3+ years, heard a lot of things, knew a lot of things, knew verses, did a lot of ministry in the church, but yet was without Christ. I was being discipled, but not a disciple in the sense that I knew Christ. But then also those that are saved sometimes just have a very little knowledge and don't have a lot of faith yet because they just get saved and now they're starting to learn about the things of God, starting to learn about who he is and what he wants to do in their lives. And when you first got saved, you probably didn't say, Lord, send me anywhere you want me to go or you want me to go. You probably didn't do that. I didn't do that. Even after 3 years of knowing these things, I didn't say, Lord, after I got saved, said, now just take me out of here and send me wherever you want me to go. I didn't do that. But as you continue to grow and you become this disciple and you become to learn, it starts becoming costly in the fact that as the world would see it, not as Christians should see it, but as the world would see it, because you start giving up things. You start giving up those worldly desires. You start giving up those worldly treasures. You start realizing they're not mine. They're God's anyway. And you realize that if I'm going to serve God and be a disciple of Christ, the more I learn of Him, the less I desire the things of the world. That's what happens. And that's what's going on in these folks' lives. They got on the boat. They demonstrated their faith. And yet, they're going to have a hard time, are they not? They were on the Sea of Galilee. In verse 24, it says, "Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep." Now, that's just beyond me. I'll be honest with you. Let me grab a drink here. If anybody ever tells you I'm a drinking man, you've seen me drink. Water, that is, but I don't know where that came from. But anyway, so they're getting on this boat. They're in this sea, and all of a sudden, it's getting tempest, or tempestuous, and the waves are coming into the boat. In fact, one count says the waves are filling the boat. And so here's Jesus. It says, and he was asleep. I mean, you think there's going to be water running down there somewhere. Something's going on. And have you ever been on a boat? Anybody ever been out into rough seas? John may have, but I think all your ships you were on were big ships. I was on a little thing, 350 feet long, 50 feet wide, or 35 feet wide. We went to the Baltic, and it's doing this all the time. I mean, we're locked in the rack. We got the strap, and we go, so we don't fall out of the bed. But it gets rough. And I can't imagine sleeping through that. But you got to remember who he is. He is God. He has no worries, no concerns about this at all, does he? Not one little bit. Yes, they're on the sea, it's called the Sea of Galilee. It's also called the Sea of Genneset. It's called the Sea of Kinnereth in the Old Testament. It's called the Sea of Tiberias. As you study your Bible, you'll see these things out. You'll know it's talking about the same place, the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden, the storm came upon them, and they were getting excited. They didn't know what to do. They were in jeopardy. In Luke chapter 8, verse 23, it says, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep," talking about Jesus, "and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." That means peril. That means they were in a situation that in their minds and hearts are thinking, "We're going to sink." Now, the Galilean Sea, the deepest place is 148 feet. Can you drown in 148 feet? You better believe it. Okay. And again, 13 miles this way and 7 miles across the breadth. It's shaped like a pear, kind of. But anyway, if the boat would have sunk, people can drown. Okay? They got a long way to shore, depending on where they're at. So they were really scared. This was a trial. This was a test or a temptation, a time of tribulation for those who called themselves disciples of Christ, followers, those who were in the same way with Jesus. Yes, they were in the same place, but Jesus, he didn't jump up and yell, "We're sinking!" He didn't get all excited because he had confidence knowing that he had the power to change the situation. Yes, he was asleep, but he was confident in that. And Psalm 89, 8 through 9 says, "O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them." This is who Jesus is. So the disciples are being tested in this situation. They chose to follow Jesus, but they didn't choose to go into these circumstances. When they got on this boat, they probably didn't count the cost of thinking, "Well, we could go in this boat and there could be a big storm. We could go in this boat and there could be water filling the boat. We could get in this boat and we could sink and drown." None of them thought that. You know, if I thought when I got on an airplane, if my thought was, "I know this plane's going to crash," I'm not getting on that plane. I'm just not going to do it. If I got on a boat and I had the thought and I was really felt confident about this, thinking, this boat just might sink. I just think, and I'm looking at it, you got rust on the hull, you got, you know, things looking, you look at stuff when you're in the Navy about ships and stuff. You start looking around, you say, I'm not getting on this thing, okay? But they didn't do any of that. They just got on. Why? Because they were disciples of Christ. They were in the way with Jesus. They were going the same place he was going. That was their priority. And they were learning to discipline themselves to be in the way with Jesus. That's the thing that we're learning today. Our priority, we're learning, is to be in the same way with Jesus. It's to be disciplined and follow Jesus. And that means letting go of some things. It's going to cost us something to be with Jesus. So you got to ask yourself a question. Why were these men so afraid? I mean, they were with Jesus. Well, remember, this is early in Jesus' ministry, according chronologically speaking. We see that they haven't been with him that long. They were at the Sermon on the Mount. They seen some miracles that he had done. And they knew, and I believe they believed that he was God. That was proclaimed later on in John chapter, I think it's 18, is where they, or 16, where they claim that. But nonetheless, they're with him. And yes, they were afraid. Why? Because they were looking at the water in the boat. They were looking at the wind. They were looking at the waves. They were looking at all these things that were going on. In other words, instead of believing and trusting what Jesus said, in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, he said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." That's what Jesus said. Now, those words are significant. Do you know why? Because the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus himself, said, "We're going to the other side." He told them, "We're going to the other side." And they didn't have that confidence yet. They weren't sure that they were going to make it. They're still learning. They're disciples. They're baby Christians. But they're learning about faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Well, these people are on the boat. They're with Jesus and they're afraid. What do? They seek Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Baby Christians, realizing they're in distress, they're trying to be in the way with Jesus, they seek the one they should seek. All of a sudden, we see, look at our passage here in Matthew chapter 8. It says in verse 25, "And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish." In other words, they knew where to go for help. This morning, we need to know where to go for help. When we're in the same way with Jesus and we're walking with him and things don't go the way we think they ought to go, or we are in a situation, maybe it's a financial setback, maybe it's a physical setback, maybe someone dies in a situation or whatever, anything that comes into a Christian's life, he can go and seek Jesus. And Jesus can change everything. Now, he may not necessarily change someone dying. Probably won't. He may not heal you and make you get up and walk miraculously. He can, but he might not do that. He might not take your finances and just go whoosh like that and have the bank call you up and say, "You don't owe anybody nothing. I'm waiting for that call." Anybody know the banker? He may not do that, but he can get you through those situations. He can show you through the Word of God, the principles in the Word of God that can get you out of your financial crisis. In other words, stop borrowing money. Stop robbing Peter to pay Paul, that type of thing, you know? There are principles in the Bible that teach us that. If we'll adhere to them, we can be blessed in that area. Physically, hey, don't eat junk that's killing you if you know it's killing you. Now, I'm not saying don't eat what you want to eat. You have liberty to do that. But you also should be disciplined, as the Bible teaches us, that we're to bring our bodies into subjection. In other words, not just do what we want to do all the time. Those are all principles in the Bible, and they teach us how to circumvent some of these things. And God will do that for us. He will show us those things. But he'll also give us comfort as nobody else can. He can give us peace that passeth all understanding. In fact, he calmed those waves. He said, "Peace be still," in one of those passages. That's amazing to me. And that's what Jesus can do for us if we're in the way with Jesus. That means follow, okay? That's what the word follow means in Greek, be in the way with Jesus. If we're in the way with Jesus, he can do that in our lives. So right away, they went to seek the Master. And they went to seek Jesus. And as those storms come into our lives, we can do the same thing. All we need to do is cry out for help. Cry out that God would be there. This morning we read Psalm 107. Did you pick up on some verses that were very similar to this morning? Did anybody? The children of Israel kept getting in trouble, did they not? And what did they do? Over and over again, at least three times, if not four, they cried out. They cried out. And Psalm 107, 26 and 29 says, they mount up to heaven. They go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Ha! A little drama there. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Do you get the picture? Do you get the principle? If you're in the way with Jesus, first off, you're born again, you've been saved, and now you're living your life the best you can, following Jesus, being in the way with Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, a learner, a pupil. At any time in your life as a Christian, you can cry out to God when you get yourself in trouble. And let me tell you something. There's not a person in this room that's not going to get himself in trouble. It can't happen because we still have the flesh. And we still have our desires, and we have our wants that we will not give up. But when we seek Jesus, he will come and he will heal and he will get us out of that trouble. He will make the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. So we see discipleship is a choice. We got to make the choice. Are we going to be disciples of Jesus or not? Secondly, what is second? Discipleship is a choice. Discipleship is costly. And the third one is discipleship instills confidence. Now, I don't know where you're going to get this out of here, but let's look at it. In verse 26, he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Now, he asked a rhetorical question, didn't he? Why are you fearful? And he said, oh, you little faith, O ye of little faith. He knew they had little faith. He knew that before he even got on the boat. But what is he doing? He is testing them. Why is he testing them? He's trying to build their confidence up in him. And that's what God, and that's why he sends tests to us, is that instead of looking to the world's devices and the world's plans, that we look to the Lord so he can build the confidence in us as disciples that we can be the people that God wants us to be. Not like Israel, who's tossed to and fro. Not like Israel, that every time the judge went away, they went back and did their own thing, and they got themselves in trouble and cried to the Lord. Now, that's kind of the way we are, is it not? But we don't have to be that way. I don't know about you. I used to like going up and down roller coasters. I don't like them anymore. Don't care anything about them. I like it like this, okay? And that's what trusting Christ in your life will do for you. It will get you out of this thing and put you on a more even plane. Now, there are going to be times of doing this. That's called growth. And there are going to be times when you're going to go, oh, and maybe slack off a little bit. But if you look at it over the long length, over the period of time, integrated over a long period of time, hopefully it's more like just ripples. Okay? No deep valleys and no real highs. Even though the circumstances of life, when the world looks at it, might seem that you ought to be in a deep valley. If you're in the way with Jesus, you should never really be in that deep valley. It'll happen, but you don't have to be. Because he will calm the storm. He will give you peace even in the valley. That's what's different about the Christian life, a disciple of Christ and the world, those who do not know Christ as their Savior. So he's building their confidence. He asked them that rhetorical question, and then he told them, I know why, O ye of little faith. And really, that word that he said, that phrase, O ye little faith, it's a Greek word, which I'm not going to try to say it. It means lacking confidence. That's what it means. When we have little faith, we're lacking confidence. If you look at the two root words that make up Greek root words that make up that word, those two Greek words, one of them means puny, and the other means faith, is pistis. Okay? So it's puny faith. That's what these guys had. They had puny faith, okay? It didn't say they didn't have any faith. It was just puny faith. And sometimes we have puny faith, do we not? Because we trust ourselves more than we'll trust God. We have faith, but it might be puny faith. And that is why we're still learning, just like they were. These guys hadn't been through any great trials. They were not tested in their faith. They haven't seen it grown yet. Yes, they were with Jesus. Yes, they had saw the miracles. But they had never had to stand on their own yet. And that's why God instituted the church. To train up believers to stand on their own when they're in the crowd or in the storms of life and the worlds around them, giving them false advice that they are as disciples of Christ in the way with Jesus, will be able to stand and have the faith in God and confidence that God knows what's going on and that God will see you through this situation. He can do that for anybody if they're willing to be disciples of Christ, saved and walking with the Lord, learning of Him. Yes, then Jesus, He gave them a small rebuke when He said, "O ye of little faith." But then it says, then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I mean, the very words of Jesus, that's all it took. He didn't get anything out. He didn't get any magic potions. He didn't burn any fire. He didn't sacrifice anything. He didn't do anything, but just spoke the words. Can you think about that for just a minute? Just a second. I want you to think about that. Spoke the words. That's like me right now. I'm standing right here. I say, "Storm, stop." And you look out the window and say, "Pastor." Then stop. That's how powerful Jesus is. Now, if He's that powerful, do we not think that He can really help us as we're going along in this life and walking with Him? Do we not think that He can get us out of anything that He wants to? Now, He's going to leave you in some places because He's going to teach you some things. The reason they went through that storm is because Jesus was teaching them some things. Jesus could have got on that boat. He could have said a prayer. Dear, and He didn't have to say, "Dear Lord," but He is Lord. He could have said, "Father in heaven, we're going to cross this lake, and if you would, just keep the seas calm." Or He could have just said, "Seas, I don't want you to rise up. I don't want the wind to blow. We're going to cross the sea, and I want it to be calm, and I want it to be as smooth as glass." And they could have went across there, and nothing would have happened. But He didn't do that. But even through the storm, where was He at? Asleep. He was on the boat resting. It didn't concern Him a bit. He is God. And the very words out of His mouth can change things. It can change people's lives. He can raise people up from the dead. He can calm the storms. He can cure leprosy. What about me? Can He help me? You better believe it. Because the same Jesus that did those things can do those things in your life. What we have to learn as disciples to begin to trust Him, to build up the confidence that we can stand on the words of God and know that it's right and know that no matter what anybody else says, we have the truth. These are, right here, the words of Jesus. Every single one of them, except for the italicized. I want to be truthful. So here these guys were in this storm. Just minutes before, maybe seconds, we could say that. They were doomed. They were in despair. They were dying, they thought, jeopardy. And they were crying out. And Jesus did this, and they made this statement. He says, "What manner of man is this?" You know what they just realized, I believe? That even the winds and seas obey Him? They just realized that He is God. That He is the Almighty. And that builds confidence in your life. That is what faith is all about, is taking one step and then the next step. And it's just trusting God, not knowing what's on the other side. Not sure what's going to happen. And when you do that and you get through that situation, Christ is going to build your confidence in Him. He's going to build your faith in Him. Where does faith come from? Faith cometh the Word of God. And when you hear and read the Word of God, that's where your faith is built. If you don't read this book, Your faith is puny faith. Let me tell you, that's the facts. It's not me saying that. That is the truth. You don't know about Jesus except for what somebody told you. Have you set your eyes on it? Have you experienced the storm? Have you been in the boat? Are you with Jesus in the way? It's important. I want to stress that. We're living in the last days. And these days, we ought to be as confident as we possibly can. Because the confidence you have and I have in Christ is going to be demonstrated in our lives. And these little ones, too, are going to see it. And the people in this community will see it. We are different. Not because I want to be different, because the Spirit of God makes me different when I'm in the way. Same way with Jesus. This morning, the message is simple. That as we are walking in this life, we have a choice. We can choose to be disciples or not. Now, in this case, it's twofold. One is being a Christian or not. Or two is being a Christian and walking with God or not. Okay? You can be that. You can choose that. It's still a choice. And I want to encourage you to choose right. If you're a Christian, find out more about Jesus. Learn of me. That's what he told us to do. So we could be in the way with Jesus. But if you're not, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you can realize I'm a sinner lost on my way to hell, but Jesus died for me so I wouldn't have to experience that. And then all you have to do is believe with all your heart. Call on him. Lord, save me. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Everybody in this room would say amen. If that's true in your life, in your heart, and you don't know Christ, make it so today. Then the discipleship choice is made. Then discipleship is costly. In other words, the more you get into the Word, the more you study the Bible, you find out the things of the world are going to turn into rust. They're going to be destroyed. They're not going to be around one day. And they don't mean a whole lot. What's important is your neighbor, the people you are around, and the people that you are demonstrating the Christian life. That's what's important, not the things that we can get. It's costly. To humanly speaking. But it also, discipleship builds confidence. Today I have confidence in my Lord. Now I don't always demonstrate that, I promise you. But I know that I'm saved. I know that I want to walk with him. I know that I love him. And I know that if I hear his word and he tells me something, I am going to at least attempt to do what he says. And a lot of times you try to do that in flesh, it won't work. It has to be in the Spirit. That's where the Word of God is so important. See, God did this, and I don't know how he did it or exactly. I just believe he did it. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they work together. They're one. And God did that and used those three personalities of himself to help us who are humans and frail. And I don't want to be vulgar, but stupid, truly, thinking we know so much that we do not. He did that so he would help us to be able to be in the way with him. And that's where we want. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. It's the way. Being in the same way with Christ. This morning, are you a disciple? Have you made that decision? Do you realize there's some cost to it? Are you beginning to grow in your discipleship with the Lord, realizing there are things that maybe are hindering you from really serving God and doing those things he wants you to do? If God called you right now this second and said, Bruce, I want you to go here. Could you do it? Do you have that ability to do it? If you don't, you need to think about that. Because that's what being in the way with Jesus is. When those disciples walked with Jesus and left that mountain, they went and they healed those people. They went to Peter's mother-in-law's house, healed her. He said, hey, let's go to the other side. None of them got out their little book and said, well, Jesus, I can't go right now. I got an appointment. I got to do this, Jesus. I got to go do this. They left their lives, whatever those lives were, fishermen or whatever, and they followed Jesus. They were able to do that. Can we do that? And I'm not saying necessarily this second, but that ought to be a mindset that we have, is being prepared for that, because you don't know when he's going to call. And then lastly, remember, all he's trying to do is build up confidence in you, to have the faith that you can trust him no matter what. No matter how difficult the situation, you can trust God. You know what? Sometimes it takes a life to learn that. I'm still working on it. I know you are too. But I want to keep taking the steps. I want to keep having the trials. I want to keep having the tests. Those testings and trials that God sends into my life, they're important. He wouldn't do it if it wasn't. Okay? He does it to help me. That's the point of it. So I can have confidence in Him. Otherwise, if I can do it myself, why do I need Him? Right? I don't need to be in the way of Jesus. I can go do this myself. And that's what He's doing. He's working on all of us. I'm going to share one verse and we'll be done. In Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah, he writes here, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." I love that thought. That's a personal relationship. He's mine. Now, you might have him too, but he's mine, and you can't take that away. He says, "I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness." That's what God can do for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you work in our lives. We realize that there's nobody in this room, nobody on the face of this earth can stand before you and tell you how great they are for all the great things they've done. And we also know that there's none that have arrived, because I believe when we arrive, I'm going to see you face to face. There'll be no more standing on this dirty, wicked, vile place that we are living today, because we'll be with you. So you have something for us to do. And part of that is being in the same way with Jesus. Help each one of us this morning know that and continue to look to you and trust you, so we don't lose the fact that we're followers of you. Just like you told your disciples, you said, "Follow me." Help us all to do so. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name.